Welcome to Pax Europiana, the podcast about peace and prosperity in Europe. This one about privatization in Ukraine and the progress on some other aspects, but mostly about privatization. Because, you know, I'm a bit critical to some of the economic reforms in currency, in taxation, yes, and the lack of progress towards a customs union, and the lack of the EU to unilateralize the trade with Ukraine and not build the customs union with the EU. Yes, and that Ukraine has not joined CEFTA. Yes, this is all not good. And it could also have been a complete opening of the land market for all European investors. But, you know, we cannot be maybe too ambitious. We have to also see where the amazing progress of Ukraine is happening. And here, let me focus on privatization. Because Ukraine is now courageously and correctly entering the biggest privatization campaign of the last 20 years in Europe. To my best knowledge, after the 90s, where a lot of the Eastern European countries have reformed, and also some privatization in Kosovo, yes, in Serbia after the 2000s, yeah, there was, of course, privatization, but by far not enough. By far not enough, that's no doubt. And Ukraine has never really gone through an extensive privatization process, so there's a huge backlog. And now President Zelensky and his team, they have decided to really significantly sell the public state-owned enterprises consistently and intensively towards the public, towards private owners. That is very good. That must be applauded. And it's also a great opportunity. Check it out. Under privatization, .gov.ua, check it in Google, privatization.gov.ua for Ukraine. There's the list of the assets which will be for sale. It's quite extraordinary. And there is infrastructure on sale, land opportunities, development. There is a lot of amazing mining opportunities. There's also simply old factories which are brown land, but in the inner city of Kiev. There's a lot of beautiful stuff out there. There's really a great opportunity for anybody with money and investment opportunities. And it's a kind of role model, because this is exactly what we should do in all over Europe. In all Europe, we need a big privatization wave like this. Ukraine is a role model in that one. And it has the courage. It leads now. And that's very good. There's many state-owned energy companies as well, regional energy distributors. This will be a huge effect in de-oligarchization and also for the internationalization of Ukrainian economy, the integration with the European economy. And obviously, it's very important that many European investors go to Ukraine and buy these opportunities, compete competitively in these tenders. They will be done in digital auction systems. They will be transparently evaluated, and also the data will be all done in a digital kind of form. So it's absolutely possible to participate basically in the process online. There's also this whole process. It will be very good. So this is a great opportunity for European companies, for global companies, for anybody in the world. Not for the Chinese and for the Russians, please, obviously, but for anybody else, please, to invest in Ukraine. This is, of course, you know, the more the integration will happen, also the open issues can be solved. But here now, this is, I think, this is something to applaud. This is something like Ukraine is a role model in, and this is something Ukraine and everybody else should be very proud about it. I congratulate this courage. I call for all the public companies of Ukraine to be sold, at least at minority stake on the stock exchange. A lot of the smaller land plots directly sold off in auctions, and the companies, the whole Soviet legacy, sell it. Privatization works. Privatization is what Ukraine needs. And by the way, Bulgaria, Romania, Austria, Italy, Greece, and so on and so on. And what cannot be sold, I have made already the case. You know, let's not get complicated. Sell it in this debt equity swap towards the EIB, and the EIB can sell it later or restructure it. So we have really huge assets in Ukraine. I'm talking about the nuclear industry. I'm talking about the Drin hydropower cascade. I'm talking about, this is a lot of generation potential. There's also big steel mine complexes, and there's a lot of mining complexes, a big important port facilities on the Black Sea. This is all very strategic. It's not for the Russians, not for the Chinese. It's for us, the Europeans, if we're ready to do it, and also American capital, obviously. We all together should engage very strongly now into this privatization that is successful, and it's very important, I think, strategically to integrate the Ukrainian economy, the strategic infrastructure, but also the defense assets with the European industry. And if it's not possible on the free market, it's okay for me, then sell it to the EIB and reduce the Ukrainian debt. Ukraine can defend itself then better. With less debt, it can invest more in defense. So that's basically a very good linking of Ukrainian industrial sector, infrastructure sector with the European infrastructure sector. This is absolutely to be applauded. And it's absolutely happy that this is happening. It will be a long-term thing. It's now basically from 2021. So it's a 2 years, 3 years process. And this will go until 2024 and longer. But now the state privatization fund is really very serious. And that's very good. And the other thing which is also very good, and it's also remarkable compared to some of the European countries, where we see enormous weakness now in the digitalization effort, in the digital schooling, in the digitalization of the administration, in the digitalization of businesses. When you see now that Ukraine has unbelievable made a huge progress here in this sector. And the best and quite astonishing fact is the fact that the digital passport, I'm not talking about any kind of new vaccination app or something, I'm talking about the real passport, your passport to travel, is digitalized in Ukraine and is accepted as an official document. You know, in the iPhone is now turned into an official document. The Ukrainian says it's the only in the world. And the first one where the iPhone, the telephone is replacing the passport in the same legal value. I'm not sure if that is true, but it's kind of extraordinary. It's something remarkable. It's something quite unique. And that's very good. And also the whole progress of the digitalization when it comes also to the digitalization of the whole, you know, I've talked already about the passport, the driving license, all the documents inside, and also the ability to register. They call it e-baby in the translation. I'm not sure. That is basically the best word to put it. But the whole presentation, a registration of a newborn child in the hospital, all digitalized, no need for the father to go anywhere. Quite a convenient thing. And so on and so on. The whole processes, they made really huge progress on that one. And this is very serious. They call it DIA, that means action in Ukrainian. And it's quite a progress on many things. They have also this very low taxation system for the digital industry, and they're really they make a step forward. I already mentioned in some of my podcasts that Ukraine has possible the best and most advanced level of progress in terms of the digitalization of payment. That's my favorite topic since 2012. I'm talking in Albania. I remember that. Yeah, the digital payment is the big game changer in reducing informality, in getting business registered, in formalizing the economy, and reducing corruption, collusion, and all these factors. Because digitalization really makes all these things so easier, and also the payment of taxation, of fines, of small payments, buy a phone. I think Ukraine is the world leader in that. Who would have thought that? Such a modern country. And it's competing and it's getting better. It's quite impressive. Also, in the old economy, Ukraine has a lot to offer. There is a lot of mining opportunities in Ukraine. It's not just energy, but also lithium, titanium, nickel, cobalt, and so stuff, yeah? So that's quite interesting. There's now this presentation of the Austrian-Ukrainian Forum online, if you want to see that. That's quite impressive. It's on YouTube or on Facebook. You can find it easily. And that's really good. So there is good things in Ukraine. It's not so the it's not so bad. Yeah? The digitalization, major thing. You know, they are better than Germany in that one. They are better than Austria in many things. When it comes to the business conditions, obviously for this small for the IT sector, much better than Austria. 5% taxation, you know, for IT officials. Huh? That's quite a special thing. And then you have also this huge mining opportunities and, of course, the privatization, and it's quite good. Yes, that's amazing. I'm very happy with this one. I'm still not happy with the other things which Ukraine unfortunately misses, and I cannot understand how complicated it is. I have said it already, you know, but in this kind of multi-complex Ukrainian environment, what I say, 10% taxation flat for everybody, is actually a tax increase for some segments, because they have made all this kind of many exemptions and very specific tax system, which I am not recommend, because it's not question, it's quite questionable why normal employees have to pay 20% income tax. IT in individuals have only to pay 5%. I say 10% for everybody. Bulgarian system, Macedonian system, Bosnian system, much better. It's a better system, you know. It's maybe not attractive for some, but we also need to have a share burden sharing of the public costs. So 10% taxation is much better for Ukraine. It's the better, fairer, and clearer system. I always wonder what's going on. And also all these opportunities would be much more lucrative, much more investment would come with 10% corporation tax, not with 19.5. Yeah? And it would mean much higher growth. Ukraine has good growth numbers again for 2021 with 4%, 4.3. So there is growth. But we would need 6, 7, 8%, you know, to really double the GDP in this decade. And then this is very meaningful for the whole of Eastern Europe if Ukraine is so successful. Also, strategically, it's so important to have Ukraine more successful than Russia. So that would be really the game changer. I have talked so often already about the currency board or currency pack or of the Euroization of Ukraine. But obviously such big, bold steps in Ukraine, nobody is ready to think about it. I wonder what's going on. There is this wonderful role models from Bosnia to Bulgaria to Macedonia to Kosovo to Montenegro, but nobody ready to listening. I'm running with this Euro idea now since 2017. I say it clearly, and also to have a back or at least a currency board, yeah, bring stability to the currency. It's important, and also trust. And no, the dollar is not the currency for Ukraine. Yeah. And I understand there was a currency back in the past which failed, but it was on based on illusions. Yeah. You have to have a realistic market-based assessment. What is the worth of the trading situation with the euro? That's what is now stabilized at the current situation, and then it is necessary to freeze it, to pack it, to have a currency board, and then to keep it until the euroization, preferable very fast, because the political signal of a euro in Ukraine is of course huge and significant and powerful to make it clear that this is Europe, to make it clear for the consumers, to make it irreversible in the European direction. That's so important. And also the question of a customs union between Ukraine and Euro and the EU. I've made it also very clear in many of the interviews now in the calls. The Turkish success of the last 25 years is based on the EU-Turkish customs union, not on the magic of Erdogan. It's this instrument which is even better than the DCFTA, even closer integration between the EU and Turkey. Or, you know, together it can be basically the same, joining SEFTA and to be closer. But what I heard again, and it was Carson who confirmed it, that the issue of Kosovo is again somehow hindering closer integration. And Serbia seems to be so strong in Ukraine, it's unbelievable. I'm really disappointed on that one as well, because isn't it very clear that Germany and your ally Austria and the United States and Japan, Canada, UK, which other countries are supporting Ukraine? Lithuania, Poland, they have all recognized Kosovo. It's done since 13 years. How come that Ukraine is not listening to your friends and allies in need? The one countries who were always with you, like Lithuania, have recognized Kosovo. Poland has recognized, yeah? You know, Estonia, Latvia, Japan, Canada, UK. Which other countries? You maybe are critical to France. I'm as well. You know, there is really some confusing thinking in Ukraine on all the big issues. On these beautification things like digitalization, you get it perfect. Congratulations. On the difficult things, which is privatization is in every country difficult. You need courage, competence, and, you know, vision, and also some leadership and a majority for it. Yeah? It's never easy. Ukraine gets it done. On the, I think, you know, who really would know so much if a currency is pegged to the euro, if that's good or not? You know, how many people really know about currency policy? It doesn't take so much. It's a kind of technical decision done by the central bank. Yeah, you know, you might put it for the parliament. You know, that's a relatively, the people, as long as it doesn't sink all the time and the people get massively poorer as after 2014 so much, yeah. Then the people say, ah, that's the pack now, that's the situation. All these exchange shops in the streets will disappear with Euroization. And Ukraine will look much better and the future is clear towards Europe. I have called so many times already to gate crash into Europe. You will not get into the normal way because there is no readiness to grant you the EU potential candidate status in Paris. And so what to do? The only way to impose Ukraine on the European Union is the unilateral Euroization of Ukraine. I repeat it. You have to yourself, the sovereign, right to adopt the currency you want. If somebody in Frankfurt is upset, they cannot stop you in no way. They can tweet angrily, but there is enough euros in the world for you to euroize. And the Lithuanians will always be with you, and so will be also the Latvians, and the Slovaks will help you, and, you know, when you ask kindly, also Kosovo will help you if it's necessary. But obviously they should keep on focus on the Euroization of Albania and North Macedonia, that's and on Bosnia. But there is enough euros physically, and in the digital world, anyhow, everything is digital payment. It's basically a button in the central bank, which is switching towards the euro. Or you could at least make it, and actually, to my best knowledge, when I paid with my credit card in Ukraine, it was already possible to pay in euro if I'm on my choice. So, and automatic systems in digital Ukraine are ready. It's just, you know, the brain, the mentality. The brain is very good. The capacity is very good. But the vision and the concept of the overall future, all this patriotism to replace Russian dependency. Yes, I understand, but keep it for the singing and for the hymn. It's not the currency. The currency is much better to have the euro. United, strong, no more political power intervening in the central bank. That's basically why they want to have their own currency, because manipulating is much easier when you control their own currency. Of course, it's clear. So that and the 10% taxation is much more serious concept than what Ukraine is doing now. For most people, 19.5, and for the very clever, smart, and fast, it's 5%. I mean, how fair is that one? Yeah? I cannot really understand that. And the customs union, obviously, it's much better than the DCFTA. Not, you know, replace it, but upgrade it. Turkey is now getting it as well. And so should Ukraine and Moldova and Georgia fast. This can be done in 1 year. And then these terrible installations of the Soviet times, which were annoying me always so much, with all this military police at the EU-Ukrainian border, the only border in Europe I know where there is three level checks, not only police and customs, but also military police, yeah, at our border, us, between Ukraine and the EU in Poland. It's very disappointing, and all this impression that you enter the Soviet Ukraine. I was actually I was traveling towards Soviet Ukraine back in 1990 with this train, and having to wait so long at the Slovakian shop for the changing. And you know, the installations still look more or less similar. And we are now 2021. So I call this could be really better, and why not get it done and do it the same like in the Balkans, where you have now mostly at every border station only one common window where the citizens or the businesses, they go there, give the passport to the one side, let's say for the Albanian side, and then the Montenegrinian customs guy has also checked it, gives it back on the next window. You drive through, it's one building built by the EU, beautiful. This is the way each Polish-Ukrainian border should look. This is the way each Romanian-Ukrainian border should look. Each Moldovan-Ukrainian and Romanian border should look. Just one common building where we see the unity. Obviously, there need to be checks in the future for persons and for goods, no doubt. But together, united, you know, into one building and easy to pass, only one time stopping for the goods and for the people, no double border lines, no military police checking headcounts in these places as they do at the moment on the Ukrainian side, and all supervised, obviously, by this beautiful Frontex, and that would be the common vision. We do it on the Balkans, we should do it in Ukraine, and please, Ukraine, also join all the elements of the Balkan progress and regional cooperation, especially the Regional Cooperation Council, and get a grip about this situation with Kosovo. It's not the same. How many more podcasts shall I do that Kosovo and Crimea are not the same? And it's a different case. I made already one, but here somehow somebody has to start to listen back in Kiev. And that's my best regards here. That's my story for this afternoon. It's really big progress in Ukraine. But on the other hand, such easy to solve things, which many of the countries have done already. Please listen to my podcast about Bulgaria, Macedonia, Bosnia. It's so beneficial, the currency back and the 10% flat tax and Ukraine. I'm struggling to understand now since 4 years, almost 5 years, I work for that, and still it's not happening, and I wonder why. But nevertheless, I want to be positive on the digitalization world best. Bravo! Maybe also to roll out the BFC system? That would be really good. You know, business-friendly certification in each of the municipalities. Ukraine has now a municipal competitiveness index. Yeah? Ukraine has all this success in digitalization. Why not do it the same way like BFC is doing it so successfully in digitalization of construction permits and all these wonderful things they do for Serbia, for Albania, for Bosnia. And by the way, Kosovo is not part of that, unfortunately, to my greatest regret. And so I have to say, there is no reason why this shouldn't happen as well. And, Ukraine will be performing very well in that system, and it would help you very much, and that I think would be excellent. Yeah. So, congratulations for the major progress, but Ukraine, no, it's courageous on the one hand, but it's not enough on the other hand, and it's time to get it done, to get better things going faster. Because, you know, we have no time to waste. Your people are also waiting for a better life. And we have to compete for prosperity between Ukraine and Russia. You have to be 3 times Russia in terms of prosperity, 3 times richer than Russia in terms of prosperity. That's the way for unity and for the whole success. And also that's the way to convince the Europeans that Ukraine should join as a full member of the EU. It's to get rich. It's a bit unfair, I know, but only rich countries will be easier accepted, unfortunately. This is this European racism and this unwillingness to share, but it needs Ukraine to be about 3 times richer than today in order to be really accepted in the European Union. So this is the way forward. Please, Ukraine, get going. Get the big things done as well. These beautiful minor things are fine. But the big things is the currency, the tax system, the customs union, and the recognition of Kosovo and the membership in Regional Cooperation Council and in SEFTA. And please, Ukraine, get it done and get it done now. Thanks a lot for listening.